On the line, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Ross, welcome. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. Where are those islands you're talking about?
On Lathrop, about an hour from the bay. It's
Big
a
Ross.
New community that's being built, and it is a wonderful opportunity for young families to get into the bay at perhaps a more reasonable housing rate.
Oh, well, that sounds good. That sounds amazing. I'm all in. I love it.
All right. Let me throw this at you because we're having a little fun with it. But so my understanding is that the NFL, you know what uniforms you're going to wear every week before the season. And the 49ers saw it was going to be 100 degrees in San Francisco, and they petitioned the league to go from their red jersey to their white, which would have meant the Cardinals had to go from white to red. And I just said, that's not a great look for a championship-type team. I don't know. That's just where I'm coming from. Any thoughts?
You don't like that the Niners wanted to switch their uniforms?
Nope, I don't.
I feel like teams will do whatever they think gives them any type of minuscule edge, and I can see how they thought wearing all white at home when it's that hot would have helped, because there is some truth to say. I can remember playing in Miami, and they would make us wear our home jerseys, our home dark Buffalo jerseys, the same thing the next year, no, maybe the same year. Same year we played in Jacksonville. It was hot. They made us wear our dark jerseys. So this is like a thing. This is like science, Steiny. I know you don't understand science, but that science, you get warmer when you have a darker jersey on. It absorbs the sun or whatever. So the Niners were just trying to do everything they could to try to give themselves a little advantage.
Ross, my sources tell me that it's very rare for a team to ask for a jersey switch a week before the game. That they, like in Tampa Bay, they probably wear their whites in September at home because they know.
No. You're 1,000% right. It's incredibly rare, which is why the NFL said no.
Right.
You don't do
gotcha.
It. But the Niners didn't know that in October in San Francisco, it was going to be 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So they're not going to ask for it. They're not going to ask to wear white at home in October in San Francisco. But then all of a sudden it's 100 degrees, and they thought, you know what? We're the home team. We should have the choice as to what we want to wear.
Right.
And the NFL said, sorry, no. You don't have the choice. You had the choice back whenever you had to submit what you wanted to wear.
Good stuff, Ross. I got to tell you, I don't need to tell you because you played in the league. What a difference a couple weeks make. Last time we had you on, Brock Purdy's a star. He's staring stardom in the face, and I still believe that, Ross, but some things have changed. They had a couple clunkers, but he's holding on to the ball a little longer. Steiny made the point yesterday in a couple callers. Maybe he's trying to do too much. I don't think that way, but I am concerned about the batted balls for interceptions. Ross, share with us what you saw last week from Brock Purdy and where he's headed.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because on the one hand, I've been somewhat impressed by his mobility, right? And his ability to buy time and make guys miss. But on the flip side, to your point, Steiny, why is he having to do that all the time? You know what I mean? What's up with the Fran Tarkenton impersonation back then?
Wow.
You know, the whole point of Purdy was supposed to be that he's so smart and so comfortable in Shanahan's offense that, and remember, in Shanahan's offense, there's always supposed to be the answer, right? There's always supposed to be an answer, no matter what the defense is. And what they love about Purdy is that he knows what Kyle wants him to do, and he delivers the ball. So I think the question we need to ask ourselves right now is, does Shanahan's offense not have the answer for some of the things these defenses are doing, or is Purdy not doing a good job of doing what Shanahan wants against some of these looks? Because that's the whole point. The whole point is, no matter what the defense does, you have an answer in a Shanahan offense, which is why they love Kirk Cousins and Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan and all these smart quarterbacks that operate the offense, and that's why they love Brock Purdy. It's awesome timing. I actually had Mike Silver on my podcast today, Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and he's talking about Mike Shanahan and the whole tree and the whole deal. And so here we are. When Purdy's holding it this long, then we need some answers. And I think that'd be a very fair question for someone to ask Kyle.
Mm. Hey, Ross, the thing about football I always find interesting is the Niners are 2-3 right now, and it feels like they've given away two games late. They needed to make one play out of six or seven, and they probably would have beaten the Cardinals, and they probably would have beaten the Rams. But that doesn't happen. So how do you differentiate between a little bit of maybe bad luck and not being able to close with, no, this is bigger, we've got some problems here across the board? How do you know what's little and what's a lot?
Another really good question. You guys are on fire today. You're having a good day.
Thank you.
You guys are having a better day than the Niners have been having.
And Robert Sala, too. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. The thing, here's what I would say. Yes, they very easily could have won either one of those games, right? And we can look at it that way and say, oh, man, they could have won those games. But I don't know. I guess I look at it and say, well, those games really shouldn't have been that close. First of all, they're doing things that really good teams don't do. They had multiple two-score leads against the Rams team that had, nobody. Now, in fairness, the Niners didn't have a lot of their guys either, but they had most of their guys on defense. I mean, they didn't have some of their skill guys, but how is their defense giving up multiple two-score leads to a Rams team without Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp? And I think that probably the most disturbing thing that we've seen is Sunday. It's not like they were clearly the better team than the Cardinals.
Man.
I mean, not at all, right? So, I'd almost feel better if they were clearly the better team, but there were some fluke plays that went against them. I didn't feel that way. I mean, they even got the blocked field goal return for a touchdown. They, on some level, they had a fluke play go their way, and they still lost the game. So that would be the part that would really be concerning to me. It's always one of those things where it's like, what would you rather have? In other words, it's funny. I did the game last night, the Saints and the Chiefs, right?
Yep.
And I was talking with Mickey Loomis, the GM for the Saints, before the game. And in week three, the first 2 weeks, the Saints were the best team in the NFL. And then week three, the Eagles kind of dominated them, but the Saints were still up late in the game with less than a minute left. And then, Goddard had a big play and the Eagles won. And then the next week, the Saints absolutely dominated the Falcons, but Shaheed muffed the punt and they had a pick six. They got tipped by three guys. It's almost like, which one is worse? When you dominate and still lose, or when you kind of got dominated but still had a chance to kind of steal one late? You know what I mean? I'm not sure which one's worse. I guess, if I'm a big Niners fan, the fact that Arizona, who had just gotten worked 2 weeks in a row at home, that they came into our place and we have everybody other than McCaffrey and they're able to take us down like that. And in the second half, James Conner's running people over. Kyler Murray's making play. I think that's the part. I think the Cardinals' loss is more concerning than the Rams' loss. is, I guess, what I'm saying.
No, I hear you, Ross, and we're searching for answers out here. And you brought up Connor, who averaged 1 point yards per carry in the first half, and then 6.5 as Arizona got that fumble from Mason and just ran it down their throat to get in field goal range and win the game. And Bosa, after the game, Ross, I don't know if you heard it, he said they made a second-half adjustment with their running game that we didn't. And I'm asking you, again, a guy that played, do, you know, the average fan say, is it the coordinator, is it the scheme, or is it just the players? Because the Niners had 14 missed tackles Sunday. I know it was hot, but when you hear those stats, you know, what are you thinking about this D? I told Steiny it's not a championship, a playoff defense right now.
No, it's definitely not the defense that they had last year or the last couple of years. It's definitely not a Super Bowl caliber defense right now. You know, watching it on TV, I didn't see what Nick is talking about in terms of if there was a schematic thing. I mean, he made it sound like it's a schematic thing. All I saw, to be honest with you, Steiny, was James Conner running over dudes. Wow. Running right through dudes' faces. And it looked to me like that's the whole value, I think, of having a running back like James Conner, is people don't want to tackle him. I mean, he's an absolute beast. And so you keep giving him the ball, and what you notice is in the second half, he just wears people down. Number one, he runs through some tired guys. Number two, there's some guys that they don't want that. They don't want any more of hitting number six because it's like hitting a sledgehammer. Boy, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Ross Tucker joining us on 95.7 The Game. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Let me ask you this, and obviously the Niners have been to the last, were in the Super Bowl last year, went deep the year before. I mean, is there any way to measure kind of the physical and mental toll of being early in a season in year three when you know how many games there are in a regular season and how long a road it is to get back there? How do you put that facet, kind of explain it to people?
No, there's not a way to measure it, Steiny, but it's absolutely a big thing. To me, it's a real, real thing that people need to talk about. I mean, they have collectively, you know, think about how we always talk about like a running back that gets 400 touches, right? And like the last however many running backs that got 400 touches, the next year, it's like they fell off a cliff. Well, the Niners and the Chiefs in particular, those guys have gotten a lot more touches, if you will, you know, than all the other teams in the NFL. And I think, number one, it wears on you physically. Number two, it wears on you mentally. And then there's also this component of that, which is like, you know what, man, let's just get to January. You know what I mean? Like, you know, let's just get to the playoffs and the games that really matter. Didn't used to be like that in the NFL, but I feel like it's almost becoming a little bit more NBA-esque, you know, and that it's such a long season now that it's hard for certain guys, I would imagine, to not be thinking about, you know, December and January football, but you got to get there first. And in fairness, I mean, the Chiefs are 5-0. And last night was probably their best performance of the season. So any excuse you would put into that regard, you know, the Chiefs would have too. Although it is weird why over time the Super Bowl winner always seems to fare better the following year than the Super Bowl loser, right? I mean, it's just uncanny. You look at it over the years, Super Bowl winner, like the Chiefs last year, you know, they had won it 2 years ago and they slugged through for a while last year, then they win it. Meanwhile, the Super Bowl loser, the Eagles, got off to a fast start, and then they faded. It, for whatever reason, the Super Bowl loser, that Super Bowl hangovers seemed like a real thing.
Yeah, And Ross, you were talking about carries, and it, you know, that's the one thing I questioned about Kyle Shanahan in a couple of these losses. He's gone away from his 25-year-old running back, Jordan Mason. I know he leads the league in carries, but just Sunday, Ross, they were 1-6 in the red zone. They're 9-22 on the year, good for 30th, but Mason had 14 touches for 89 yards, 6.4 yards a pop, but yet I didn't feel like the Niners did what the Cardinals did with Connor. Am I wrong to question Kyle? Like, I know McCaffrey's not here, but you got a 25-year-old Marion Barber. He reminds me of Steven Jackson, you know, that elk. Why would Kyle not go to him more when he's this young and effective?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say, you know, on the one hand, they were having a lot of success with Ayuk. And it was seeming like it was going to be a big Ayuk game, and maybe they just really liked their matchup, you know, the Cardinals against the Cardinals corners. I can't really answer that. You know, the Cardinals don't really have any pass rushers. So I think on some level, the thought is they don't really have very many good pass rushers. So we should be able to sit back and just light them up. And I think that's part of it. But, you know, only Kyle would really be able to answer that. But it's interesting because it feels like the Cardinals over the course of the game kind of out physical the 49ers, and that you don't see that very often. I mean, the Niners, you know, they haven't always had that reputation. Even when like Montana and those guys are there, people would call them finesse, but over the last few years they've been a very, very physical team, you know, the way they run the ball, and Greenlaw and Fred Warner lighting people up. But I thought Arizona was the more physical team on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey, Ross, thanks as always. Appreciate it, man. And we'll catch up with you in a couple weeks.
All right. See you guys.